And oftentimes we get focused on ourselves and in our own pride, and we forget about who we are. So today I'd just like to look at that. I would like to start out with who God is. We know from Genesis 1:1 it says, "In the beginning is God." So He is in the beginning before the world was created. If you read Genesis 1, He created the world. In Nehemiah chapter 9, and verse 6, I have a lot of verses. You don't have to turn if you don't want to. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all the things therein, the sea and all that is therein. Thou preservest them, and the host of heaven worships Thee." And so God, He is Creator. He created all things that we know, and all the things even that we don't know. And He is the only God, as we see there. Thou art Lord alone. And He has made everything, and He preserves everything. And so God is powerful. He is a creator of all things. He was before all things. And if we look at Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So we see He is the creator of all things. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So He keeps all things working in harmony. I looked up the word consist, and it means to set together. So He keeps everything set together and working in harmony so that the world doesn't just go to pieces. So He is the Creator. He was before all things. He keeps all things working together. And He is the only true God. And then Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods have not made heaven and earth, and the earth. They shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He uttered His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures." And so God is creator. He is the only true God. There is no other God beside Him. He is the true and the living God. And we see in verse 13 how He takes care of everything. He makes sure there's rain. He makes sure there's wind. He keeps everything working and growing together here on this earth. And then in one more in Isaiah chapter 40, we see just how awesome and powerful He is. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12, it says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, and the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing, in vanity. And then if you look down at verse 21, it says, Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understanding from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, and that bringeth princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And so we see God, we see how awesome and powerful he is. We see the figurative speech that they use, that Isaiah uses, just to try to help us to understand how awesome and how powerful he is. We see in verse 12, he talks about him measuring the waters of the earth in his hand, or measuring the heavens with a span of his hand, and weighing the mountains in a scale, and just the size and the awesomeness of God, how we can't even as humans wrap our minds around it. We know he created everything, but just how awesome and powerful he is. And then in verse 15, the nations are a drop in the bucket. In 17, all nations before him are as nothing, are counted less than nothing. And so Isaiah is describing just how awesome and powerful he is, and how we don't even compare to him. So we see that he is creator, he is the only God, the only true God. He is before all things. He's created all things. And he is awesome and powerful, more than we can ever imagine. And in Hebrews chapter 1, and verse 10, it says, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old at thus a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and the years shall not fail. And so we see God, he is before all things, but he doesn't change, and he will be there when everything is gone. And he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then if you look at Isaiah chapter 6. So we've seen that he's the creator. He's the only true God. He is awesome and powerful. And the nations are nothing in comparison to him. In Isaiah chapter 6. It says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And so we see that he is holy. The Lord is holy. And holy is one of those words, if you ask me, like, what is holy? I'd be like, it's holy. I mean, I looked it up, and it means to be sacred, or the root word means to be clean. So to be clean, without spot. He has not done anything wrong. And he doesn't even have the capacity to do wrong. He is perfectly clean. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, it says, Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And the word perfect means complete. He lacks nothing. So we see that God is holy, He is clean, without spot. He doesn't even have the capacity to do anything wrong, and He is perfect. He lacks nothing. So He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer, the only true God. He is in control. He never changes. And He is awesome and powerful. He is outside of time and space, and He is holy, clean, perfect, without spot. And think about when Solomon dedicated his temple, he talks about, it says, the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. And so God is so awesome and powerful, even the heavens can't contain Him. And He is just amazing. And the list goes on and on. But we'll stop there for now. Now I'd like to change gears and look at man or the human race as a whole. In Genesis chapter 1 or chapter 2, we see that we are created by Him. We are created beings. In Psalms chapter 8, it tells us that we are a little lower than the angels. And so we are created by God. We are a little lower than the angels, but we sinned against God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And so we are His creation, but we sinned against Him. And I'd like to go back and look at Job, where we started in Job chapter, we'll look at 25 first. We see Him comparing us to God. And it starts out, how can man be justified? And it compares Him that even the stars aren't pure in God's sight because of how pure and holy He is. But then it describes man. It says, how much less man that is a worm. And I looked up the word worm, and it literally means maggot. And you think of maggots. And I don't really like to be described as a maggot, but that's what the Bible says. So, but you think they only feed on dead flesh and dead things. And so we as humans, we feed off of sin and death. And that's what our nature is. And then if you look at chapter 15, and down in verse 16, it says, how much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. And so we see Job is describing us as, in comparison to God, we are constantly, we just feed and drink sin and iniquity that's in our nature. We have the sin nature. Not a very flattering light, and especially when you think of God as being perfect and holy without spot, and us on the other hand thriving, drinking and eating iniquity. And in Psalms chapter 14, it tells us that everyone's a sinner. Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so there's no human besides one, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's no human that isn't a sinner. No one escaped. We all have the sin nature. We are all sinners, and we all seek after sin. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And so even our righteousness and compare are evil and are filthy. I was listening to a message by Mark Hartley on God and who He is, and he made the point that we in our natural state are the complete opposite of God. As we saw, we have that sin nature. We're like maggots. We eat death. We drink iniquity. That's what we thrive off of. But God is holy, righteous, and perfect. Even our righteousness is coated in sins. And so we saw all have sinned. And in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, "Your sins have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you." And we think about what sin does. It separates us from God. I can't remember exactly where it is, but at one point, Jesus is praying to the Father in one of the Gospels, and He says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true God." And so if to know God is life eternal, then to be separated from Him is death eternal. And our sins have separated us from God. We can have no relationship with Him. He is perfect and spotless. He can't allow us to come near to Him. We are deserving of death. We're so thankful it didn't end there, though. We looked at who God is. We didn't get into how He is a merciful and a gracious and a loving and a kind God. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so God, even though we were sinners and rebelled against Him, and we were drinking iniquity like water, we were maggots spiritually, so to speak, it says, even God, when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us. He sent His Son to die for us, to take our sin on Him. And we see He says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And I think of in Isaiah where He says, even our iniquities, our filthy rags, we would try to take even this wonderful thing that God's done and try to make it about ourselves and try to taint it with sin. But He made it to where we couldn't. We can't even boast. We see who we were. We were dead. We were maggots. We were drinking iniquity like water. But God still sent His Son, and He made us alive through Him. And all because of His love for us. And we see that in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then down in verse 19, it says, "We love Him because He first loved us." And so God loved us first when there was nothing we could do. We were maggots. We were drinking iniquity like water. He loved us and He sent His Son for us. He could have just wiped us out. There was nothing in us worth keeping, nothing in us to love, but He loved us anyway. And He loved us beyond measure. And I don't know everybody here, but if there's anybody here that hasn't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are as sinners. We are separated from God. And if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus' work on the cross, do it today, because as we saw earlier, if not, it's eternal separation from God, eternal death. And so we see what an amazing God we serve when we were lost, nothing we could do. We were focused on our sin and going after it and living in it, but He saved us anyway. And we think of whenever I'm not living like I should, and I think of oftentimes I think I just don't love the Lord like I should. And I think it's a good reminder to be of what we are forgiven of and just who we are. A lot of times you can almost think, well, I'm not that bad a person, but we as humans are just innately evil and sinful. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For all these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And so we see as Christians we should be adding to our faith, and we should be producing things for the Lord, producing fruit for the Lord, spiritual fruit. And if we don't see those in our lives, it means, as we saw in verse 9, we have forgotten what we were purged from, and that we were purged from our old sin. And so for me, this was just a good reminder of all that the Lord did for us and how just terrible we are in comparison to Him, but yet He still loved us, and He still sent His Son to die for us. And because of that, we should give our all to Him. And if not, if we're not giving our all and producing fruit for Him, we need to look at our lives and look at and realize we have forgotten that we are purged from our old sins. We have forgotten what the Lord did for us and just how much we have been forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are pure and a holy God. And thank You for creating us and how awesome and powerful You are. But we thank You most of all for Your love, and that even when we were without strength, You sent Your Son. When there was nothing we could do, You loved us. And You saved us from our sins so that we could have a relationship with You. We thank You for that, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.